Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network with AJ and the Squad and the Queen's Court on Friday, October the 28th, 2022. We're glad you're here. We got a great show for you tonight. We're also going to hear from an outstanding woman from Alabama. And we got some Halloween stuff for you tonight. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. But bring my trick-or-treat candy on, trick or treat.
Hey, Dad, bud.
Relax.
Hey, bud. Get it. It's almost Halloween. We got to go shopping. Where you want to go shopping at for your costume? I don't want to go shopping. What do you mean you don't want to go shopping for the Halloween costume, bud? That's the time you get all the good old candy and stuff like that.
Well, I was kind of thinking I want to create my own costume. Not with stuff you have here.
Yeah, but what you had in mind?
Well, I was thinking about you can go take that there old moose head off the wall.
Uh-huh.
And I can put it on my head. I think it'll fit.
Okay, boy. Yeah. Okay, all right. That sounds good, right?
And then I want to take that little, the bottom of that Scooby-Doo thing that's all ready, and I'll put that on for my feet like part.
All right. That air sounds pretty good there, right?
And then I want to go live.
You want to go live what?
I want to go live on that AJ in the Scribe page.
You want to go live on AJ and the Scribe page?
Yeah, I want to go live and I want to make my scary Halloween noise.
You want to make your scary Halloween noise?
Yeah, you know, like that fatter bit. With 2 Piece and a biscuit. Or how do we call his name?
Oh, that there fella named 2 Piece in South Carolina, huh?
Yeah, I want to go live and I want to make my... Yeah, I want to do my noise like that.
So how are we going to do that?
You gotta go on that AJ and the Squad page, you know, Squad that Squad. And then you go on the page, and then you go live. You go to create a post, then you go down to live video, make sure you get, turn your camera on, and you can show your face or not show your face. And you just make your scary noise, like that's how the 2 Piece said, like he did.
Oh, like he did. All right. Then I guess we're gonna do that there. All right, we go to AJ and the Squad page, and we go live and do all the scary voices and stuff.
Yeah, he said we could talk about the costume that we made up and that we want. Scary costumes or, you know, bad costumes. You know, whatever the costume is.
Sound right there, Danny, to me there, boy. Come on, let's go do it. Let's go get our family and go do this thing. All right.
Come on in, my sister.
Come on in to the spooky south. I see you right this way.
Hey, Sarah, hey, Sarah.
Come here, boy. I got you now.
Get out of here. Down the hill. I got to call 18 the Squad for help. 18 the Squad. Where are you at? Daddy. Daddy.
Since you're out here all alone, I'm going to snatch you, little boy.
You got to be crazy, honey. I'm about to run. Bye.
Come here. This is 2 Piece on the Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and Dawn. It's creepy out there. Do not send your kids at nighttime, no time, and especially on Halloween. But creepy people dressed in masks of all kinds can either snatch them, try to take them. Teach your children to say stranger danger and scream to the top of their lungs and run.
Happy Halloween from AJ and the Squad on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Check, check.
Thank you. man with an average life. I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone? And I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I'm so proud. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Tell me, is it just a dream? When I come home at night, I get the door real tight. People call me on the phone I'm trying to avoid. Well, can the people on TV see me when I'm all just paranoid? When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair. Cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch. But maybe showers remind me.
That was Rockwell with Somebody's Always Watching Me.
To replay, press 1.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we ask and pray. Father God, we come to you humble this evening, God, to tell you thank you, God, that you keep your hedges of protection about thee, God. And Lord, we repent of anything said, done, omission, commission, to grieve thy spirit, Father God. And Lord, we give you the glory. We give you all the praise, God. But Lord, we thank you for watching over us tonight, Father God, as we slept slumber, tossed and turned, God. Father God, and we thank you, God, for how you just continue to order our steps to, from, for, and near, God. How, God, that you keep our loved ones, God, our families, our children, our neighbors, our community, God. How, Father God, that you protect us and shield us, God, from those gunfires, God, in the name of Jesus, gang violence, God, right in the left station, battered and abused, God. We know, God, that you're able, God, to do all things above all that we ask or think, God. And, Lord, how you are a healer and you are a deliverer, God, in spite of situation, in spite of circumstances that come before us, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you are our guiding light and the driving force in our life, God.
in the mighty name of Jesus, God. But know the help that we know, God, you are a keeper, God. You keep us, God, mentally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, God. God, we tell you thank you, God, for you just being God all by yourself, God. Rest ruling and abiding in each and every one of us in your own special a unique way, Father God, no matter, God, what we're facing on a day-to-day basis, God, whether it's going through illness, God, whether we're going through something that has plagued us, that we have heard bad news that wasn't good, God, in the name of Jesus, that shattered us, God, but we know you are our strength tonight, God. You are our stronghold tonight because we know, God, you are good, God, a stronghold in the days of trouble, God. And you know of those that trust in you tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, as we come together tonight here on Six Eyes Radio, AJ and the squad in Queens Court, God, we know, God, that you are able, God, to bring us through. We look back, God, of our life, God, 4 months ago, God, and look where you have us at this day, God, that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, God, and every tongue that riseth up against thee in judgment shall be condemned, God. But we thank you, God, for the movement that you have, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the platform, God, that you get the glory out of every story, God, no matter what the situation is, God. We thank you, Father God, for being our physician, being our counselor, being our representative, God, being mother when we're motherless, father when we're fatherless, God. We thank you for your love tonight, God. We thank you, God, that how you keep your angels of protection around God, Father, and his family tonight, God. Whenever that they standing in the need of God, meet every need, God, in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ. God, and we pray for uncheckable, God, knowing that you're able, God, to do it all, God, above all that we ask or we think, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, for no other help, God, that all of our help coming from thee, Father God, Sister Destiny, God. Do it, God, like you say that you would, God, and we're leaning and we're depending on you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask that you keep your hedges of protection around Johnny and his mom and Zadanum as they are out, God. Keep them shielded and protected, God, and shield, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, and all of our children that are out, God, to celebrate this event, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Keep them safely, Lord, in your bosom, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And we glorify you, and we thank you, Father God. Thank you for meeting us right here, God, at the appointed time, God. God, you know, God, you know who we are. You know our name, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue to rise us, God. You continue to flourish, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for no other help that we know. All of our help coming from thee. Lord, we ask that you bless the speaker tonight, God. Whatever that she has to say, God, in the name of Jesus, that would encourage somebody else to pick up their cross and follow after you, Christ Jesus. And Lord, we give all praise and all honor to you because without you, we can't do anything. And Lord, we ask that you continue to be our guide in life and be that driving force in our lives, Lord. And I ask that you touch AJ tonight, God. Touch him in a special way, God. Whatever he stands in the need of, God. Meet every need, God. Lord, let your healing hands touch, God. Touch me tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'd be so honored to give you all of the praise, give you all of the glory, give you all of the honor, God, because it all belongs to you, God. And Lord, we ask that you bless each and every city and every state, God, whatever that we stand in the need of, according to your will, that your will be done in all of our lives. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. Let me get these mics open.
Absolutely. We want to thank Mr. Two-Piece, Uncheckable, Evangelist Clayton.
No problem.
And as Queen said, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of AJ and the Squad on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
We got one right there.
We're so glad all of y'all could join us. She is opening the mics. Queen is opening everyone's mics. And the hotline phone is open, 424-243-9617. Please call in, join us. Suggestions, opinions, join in on the fun.
Press 1 if you would like to talk. Press that button.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I would like to talk. I want everyone to have a great show. Hello to you all.
Well, look
hey,
who's
boss
back.
Man.
Hello, hello.
It's the boss
What's
man.
What's going on, sir? Good evening. Welcome
hey,
back.
How you doing?
Y'all who don't know, that is Mr. Six of the 6 Hours Radio Network. We call him the boss. He's in the building tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hello, queens and kings.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. All right.
Got all the mics. Those who want to. Those who want to. All righty then, like we always do around this time in the very beginning, you know, buddy-buddy checks, you know, mental health checks. Very, very important with what's going on in the world nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
We let the queens go ahead and start it off.
Again, good evening, everyone. This is the Queen from North Carolina. Hope all is well. I am good. I've made some decisions in my life the last couple of days that's going to be, I believe, beneficial to me and my family. I have prayed on it, and God is leading me in the direction where I think I'm supposed to be going or where He's leading me. So if He's leading me, I know I'm going there. But I look forward to it. I look forward to the adventure. I look forward to being able to get more things accomplished. Anybody that knows me knows that I am a workaholic, and I love to learn. So I'm constantly putting stuff on my plate because I like doing stuff. Because my mom used to tell me, you got to learn something new every day. I don't care what it is, but learn one new thing every day. So I strive to do just that. My family as well. Things have been good this week. So I'm good. I'm the queen. I'm complete. I'm great. And I hope that you are too.
Thank you.
Amen.
Oh, what's going on? This is uncheckable. Check, check. My mental, you know, it's all right. It ain't all that, but it's all right. But I'm here. I can't complain. I'm blessed. But check, check.
Check, check.
Hey, man, good afternoon, each and every one. This is Evangelist Clayton,
hey.
And I'm hailing out of Tallahassee, Florida. Amen. And one thing for sure, two things that we know, I've had a challenged week. Amen. To God be the glory. But I give all praise and all glory to our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And right now, amen, going on in Tallahassee, Florida, I think we got so many other states that are in Tallahassee at this time because of the great homecoming for Florida A&M University. Amen. Mm-hmm. Celebrating. We got so much going on, the battles of the band. Amen.
Yes.
From your state, our state, your state,
yes,
everybody's
same, state.
State. Amen. Coming to Tallahassee.
Ohio
tonight.
State. Ohio State.
The battle.
Say no
the battle.
A&T. A&T.
Say no
amen. The battle
I love
is the one everybody want to be. Amen. If you ain't seen the rappers perform, amen. To God be the glory. Keep your hats and your shoes on. Amen. Because you ain't seen the 100 band that performed like Florida A&M University. Also, amen, we have all kind of concerts, car shows, models. Amen. We have all kind. The game tomorrow, Florida State University playing at 12. FAMU is playing at 4. Amen.
Okay.
Just exciting. The streets are filled with vendors everywhere. And we have downtown get down tonight where they are getting down tonight. Amen. With the stage set up on the street. Amen. Where they are performing in the street tonight here in Tallahassee, Florida. You ain't seen no light like you see the light tonight. Amen. So my mentor is supercalifragilistic. It's the allodosa extraordinary. And I'm continuing to persevere and press my way through. Amen. So again, I say I am completed. God loves you more than I could ever say. And don't you dare even think that you can do anything about it. I'm completed.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to say hello out there to everybody. And I just want to just say
I'm just glad that we'll be traveling down to the area. And just know that we're not traveling for nothing. Just know that when the battle is ready to start, the band is going to show out like we always do.
There you go. There you go.
And again, we're not traveling for nothing. We don't travel for nothing.
Shout out.
To the colleges.
Amen. They are here.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is Destiny calling out of the state of Virginia. My mental is fine, and I'm going to say it's very good today. So I just pray that everyone will continue to pray for me, and I will continue to pray for you all.
Amen. Are there any more queens before we move to our kings? Because we got quite a few people. So if you listen out there and you want to tell us about your mental, feel free. Feel free. But of course, you got to open up the mic. You got to push that one and talk, though.
But if you just like trolling, just sit there and enjoy yourself.
Hey, a troll is a listener, so, hey. My mental is good this evening, just sitting back and enjoying the show.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Kings.
I know a two-piece. I wouldn't know, like to give everybody a chance.
Two-piece right here. My mental is good. Had a little struggle early in the week with some financial problems, but with prayer, God worked that out just lovely right on time. But other than that, just waiting on homecoming with South Carolina Gamecocks, where my daughter will be on the first time on them snares. So she's going to be ripping up on that game field. And then after that, celebrate my niece's birthday. And I'm feeling great, complete.
Absolutely. We have any other callers? Well, while you're working on that, AJ calling out of Cleveland. Good evening, everyone. My mental is good. I'm physically under the weather just a little bit, but nothing to complain about, though. I'm here with the 6 Hours Radio Network, the squad, the Queen's Court, here with my queen, here with all the callers. We're up and running, and we're good. So with that, I'm Kimberly.
I'm 850. Your mic is open.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Crawford Vale, Florida. Minister Allison Mead. Invited by Senator Clayton.
Welcome back.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good evening. Thank you for
good
asking.
Good evening. Good out of y'all doing okay?
Absolutely.
Everybody doing
how are
fine?
You?
Be blessed.
Well, I'm concerned about a young lady. Her mental is not so well. So pray for her.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
She thinks God is punishing her. So I'm concerned about, this young lady. Her mental is not, she going through postpartum depression. Very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I found her on TikTok. I tried to reach out to her. I gave her my phone number to call me, but she didn't call me. So I don't know. But just pray. She's looking for a job. I'm a young mother.
Right.
So I'm concerned about her.
Is there a name you can give us or a way we can reach out to her?
No, I don't know her name. I have her name. She was reaching out to us on TikTok, looking for help, looking for a babysitter.
Right.
Right. Her name. Give me 1 second.
No, that's fine. Take your time. I was just gonna say we can try to get a hold of that information. Because like I said, maybe she, we're another platform that she might be able to come through and, get some things off her chest and at the same time, find some support,
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think she's looking for support.
Right. Anything that we can try to do to help. We understand the times are really, really bad with inflation, with everything that's going on in America right now in these stores. So we understand it's very difficult right now here, out here right now, especially if you don't have a regular steady income, even if you don't have part-time. And even if you do have some type of a job, you're more than most likely still struggling with the way the economy is going in America right now. So there are a lot of women. I'm just going to say there are a lot of people out here with children who are struggling right now to find babysitters, aftercare, daycare, all kind of issues and situations going on right now. So anything that we can do to help, if it's not, like I say, but a voice and them getting their voice heard, you know, we want to be able to give them the platform to be able to come on here and do that.
Well, I don't know. I just know her first name. And two of them TikTok. Her name is Adora.
Adora on TikTok.
But I don't have a last name.
Okay. What was she doing in the TikTok video?
She was. She said she regrets having children. And looking for a job, and she's waiting. She's waiting for some kind of voucher for childcare.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, she was looking for a job. But she was just crying, and you know, a young baby. She was a young baby, and she just think God is punishing her. But I think the child is a little. Something kind of wrong with the child a little bit. I think so, but she was crying and regret having children. I only got her first name, Adora, and I reach out. I give my phone number.
Right.
She lives in Raleigh. I think that's North Carolina, I think. Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. Raleigh.
Yes.
Raleigh.
All right. Well, we'll try to go on TikTok and see if we can catch up with her.
First name is
see if we can, you know, reach out to her, see if there's anything we can, you know, try to do.
Yeah, so I'm just
concerned
about.
We appreciate you bringing that to us, bringing that to our attention.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, hopefully, I pray for her.
Absolutely.
That's all I have to say today.
Thank you.
Amen. On that note, as well, I ask that we keep Minister Elsie lifted up in prayer. She just laid a brother to rest. Mm. Amen. As well, too.
Condolences to the family.
Sorry
to hear that.
And she had to travel to the various places, and as you can hear, you know, her language, you know, you a lot of her family members she hadn't seen in a long time, and so different things. But I'm grateful that the Lord gave her the opportunity she can fellowship with her family as well too, and put some things, amen, that had been soaring for years and years and years with her. That God put to rest as well too. So let us keep Minister Elsie lifted up in prayer as well.
Absolutely.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Just real quick, if you don't mind, I want to remind everybody, please be conscientious of your background. These mics are hot, and they pick up everything. So I'm hearing a couple of movies. I'm hearing a couple of Michael Myers. I understand great Halloween movies is on. We don't mind and appreciate you. Just please, everybody, be mindful of your backgrounds. And if you have a lot going on, please press your mute button or take it off speakerphone or turn it down. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Queen, you was trying to say something?
I was just asking, is there anybody else that wanted to share their mental?
Take time to know.
Well, I see that our speaker actually is here. Would you press 1, please?
Welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and the Squad.
AJ and the Squad.
Squad.
Did she ever end up pressing the...
Yeah, it's fair.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Miss Linda.
How y'all doing?
Good evening, too.
Fine. How are you?
Welcome.
I'm good. Well, I'm sort of good.
Well, you're alive.
How you meant to.
Excuse me?
I said you're alive, so you're doing more than good.
Exactly.
I got a couple other mics. Wait a minute. We have a 205. Your mic is open. And...
Well, I'd like to say good evening. Very pleasant good evening to all.
Wait a minute.
Good evening,
Mama.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
That's so good.
Thank you.
Enjoy on Friday evening. That God bless us to be together.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And I just thank God for some of the blessings.
And 205, your mic is open.
Well, we can make it without it, so. I've been going through some issues. I know that God can see it. So I just said a few minutes ago, Lord, you take care of everything I need to do. So I let God take care of my business.
Right.
When I used to go everywhere else, I come to God first. It's just time to be serious, time to be real, time to be true, time to be righteous. There's much, much more to be said to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to push nobody to do what they need to do. I'm pointing at myself, Coach. As an individual, we all got to do what we need to do, be obedient to the Lord. One thing I can say that God knows all, he sees all, and he can do it all. So we thank God for God at this time.
Amen.
Thank God for
Amen.
You guys. You always
Amen.
Have something to encourage me, to make me want to come back each Friday. So all praise and glory go to the Most High. I had a hard time with this phone, with my new phone, so I did get you guys. Thank God to let me say what I need to be said. And I praise him and worship him for all of his marvelous work. So you guys continue to be obedient to the word, because only his word will stand. Only what we do for Christ God bless.
God bless.
God
bless
you. Thank you.
Man, thank you so much.
803,
your mic is
open. God bless you.
803, your mic is open. Okay. All right. Well, Miss Linda, are you ready?
8-9.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to... play some music for you, and we'll get you introduced, and we'll give you the floor.
Amen.
I forgot to give you the second. I'll look for you so I can give you the second song.
It's okay. We worked out some stuff. It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
Ms. Sheila?
Amen. Truly, we thank God, amen, for who God is all by himself, and we thank God for our speaker tonight, amen. You heard a voice, amen. But right after this next song, none other than our very own our speaker will come forward tonight, amen. A beautiful, beautiful woman of God, amen, and a beautiful individual, a beautiful mom, and just a beautiful friend. So none other than our very own after this song, amen.
Thank you for that, Francis Clayton. Remember everyone.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on the 6-5 Radio Network. Check here.
Okay.
How
got a cute face, chubby waist, thick legs in shape, rump shaking both ways, make you do a double take, planet rock a show, stop a blow, top a head knock a dollar, L dropper, do my thing, motherfucker, Rolls Royce, Lamborghini, blue Medina, always beaming, rag top, chrome pipes, blue lights, stout sights, long green, sold in, said again, sold in, make that money, sold in, booty bouncing, don't hear, everybody here. On acapella. You're gonna make you lose control and let it go, for you know you're gonna hit the flow. Rock to the beat, and I'm fire. Walk in the club, it's fire. Get it crunk and wired. Wave your hands, scream louder. Put some smoke inside of. Bring the roof down and holler. If you tipsy, stand up. DJ, turn it louder. Pick somebody by the waist and now throw it in the face like hypnotic, robotic. This skin will rock your body. Pick somebody by the waist and throw it in the face like systematic, ecstatic. This should be automatic.
To replay, press.
That had me about to lose control. So just remember, everyone, while she's speaking, you are on mute. You will still be able to hear her. So without further ado, I'll present to you Miss Linda from Alabama.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to speak. I hope I can say something that will touch someone's heart and let them know about God's goodness and glory. First thing I want to say is I'm 57 years old. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama in 1965 to a single parent. I didn't know my dad. I got a chance to know him and meet him and spend time with him when I became an adult. But let's go from the beginning. I was born partially sighted. My mom, unfortunately, was a very abusive person, and she took my sight when I was 2 years old from beating me in the head and detached my retinas. The first time she burned me, my back, bottom, legs, she took me to a hospital called Lord Nolan Hospital it's no longer there anymore. But she took me then, and they treated me and released me back to her. I'm sure my dad was there because she couldn't drive, so I'm sure he was the one that took her. So the next time she burned me, back, bottom legs, she took me to University of Alabama. I guess she thought that that would not get her in trouble because she was going to another hospital. But what she didn't understand was, and found out the hard way, the doctor that treated me and Lord Nolan was at UAB as well. And he gave her a choice. You either give her up to foster care or we put you in jail. So I went into foster care. So foster care came and got me from the hospital and gave me to my first foster family. The lady told me, my foster mom, she told me when I was an adult, she said, I didn't want to take you at first. She said, because I never dealt with a blind person, a blind child, a blind baby, because I was only two. She said, but she felt like God was convicting her and telling her, you need to take this child. So they took, the social workers took me out, from what I heard, they took me out of the hospital and brought me to her. Meanwhile, my real mom was telling my dad, because he didn't know what happened, she told him that I was stolen out of the hospital. It was all on the news and everything. A child has been stolen from UAB, which is University of Alabama. So I'm sure they finally squashed that because it wasn't true. That he was in, didn't know what happened to me. I had six brothers and sisters that lived. This may sound like a tale, but it's not. I had my other brothers and sisters could have lived. It would have been 25 of us. I thought it was 22, but my sister corrected me not too long ago. She said, she didn't have no 22 children. So I was like, uh-oh, I told a story. She had less. And then she said, no, she had 25. So I'm going, oh, to what I was telling you. Okay, so in the foster home that I was in, I thought they were my mom and dad. I had a mom and a dad that lived in the house with me, which was cool. I had six foster brothers. But one of them went to a reform school because he was bad. I had words with the police when they came to get him, though. I told the police, don't take my brother. He's sorry. He won't do it no more. But they took him anyway because he had been very bad. And the other two brothers, I don't know what happened to them. They, I guess, got sent back to their mom or something. So I was left with three brothers. Foster brothers. I lived in Demopolis, Alabama. We moved from Birmingham to Demopolis. And I loved it there. I had no idea that I couldn't see. I was here, my foster mom said, where the blind girl fell? I climbed up in a chair and I fell and passed out. So she's like, the blind girl fell and hurt herself. I don't know what happened. She just was on the floor, and I'm thinking, who is that? I want to see him. I want to play with him. But it was me. I have fallen. They treated me really well there. I got spankings when I got bad, but I'm talking about spankings, not abuse. I loved them. They were so awesome to me. And my brothers, as I was the youngest, I was a spoiled little princess, you know. I had no idea what I was going to have to come back and endure. When I was six, we got this phone call saying that they were going to give me back to her, my real mom. But they tried to make it sound good to me. They said, my foster mom was crying at first. Then I guess she tried to pull it together and say, you got brothers and sisters and Birmingham that want to see you and meet you. And I'm like, I got brothers, but cool. So they tricked me into going to see them and spending time with them. And when I saw them, they were cool. At least I thought so. They were very cool. And it came time when I had to come and live with them. And at first, she didn't do anything to me. But I knew that something was wrong. I couldn't put my finger on what it was. But she hated me. She hated me from when I was a baby. So she started making me sit on the floor. She would walk by and step on my feet and then beat me for not moving my feet. And she knocked the cereal out of my hand that I had and then beat me because I wasted the cereal. She taught my sisters and brothers to hate me. And they would beat me. They would take turns beating me and dragging me through the floor and anything they could think of to cause me grief. They went to school. I didn't. So while they was at school, she would beat me. She would not let me take a real bath. I had to take a bath in a foot tub, and I couldn't fit in a foot tub. Even though I was little, I was underweight. But I had to stand over the foot tub and try to bathe, which was hard to do. And she would, oh, my God, she made me sit on the floor and eat. All the rest of them could sit at the table, but I would have to sit in the floor with trash all around me and eat. My breakfast that I would get from her was she would call me in there and curse me out and tell me to sit down on the floor while she's cursing me. She would fix this meal for me. It was only for me. She would take an egg, break it in the skillet while she's cursing me. She already has put lard in the skillet. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing the word right, lard. Anyway, so she would break the egg and then she would add onions. She would add baking powder, a lot of baking powder. Serve it on stale bread and wilted lettuce, and that was my meal. I had to eat out of one special bowl, and that bowl was put separate from everybody else's food. And I would have to drink out of the bowl after someone threw the soup can that I was drinking out of away. They thought they was helping me by throwing it away. Maybe I'll get a cup or something. So I had to drink out of the same bowl, put it up under my chair, and leave it there until she tells me to bring it in there so she can put food in it. Then wash it, she just rinse it out, and there you go. This went on for 10 years, 10 hard years, and I would pray, God, please deliver me from this, because I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be in where I was loved, because my foster parents showed me a lot of love. They would walk holding my hand. One would have one hand, one would have the other hand, and we walked down the street together. They were very good to me and good to my brothers. They're my foster brothers, so I call them brothers. All my foster family, I call them my family, my brothers and sisters. So to the health center, and the health center told her, you know, your daughter needs to go to school. They said, we have a school for the blind she can go to in Talladega. They said, I don't want my daughter to leave me. And she started acting like she cared, but she didn't care. But she acted like, oh, don't take my baby. I want her to stay here with me and all that. And so School for the Blind, someone called her from School for the Blind and told her, hey, your daughter's eligible to go to school. I know because I heard what she said. She said, my daughter's retarded. She can't go to school, and she slammed the phone in their face. Okay, I had a social worker that came out to see me when I had to go back and live with them. And she put a gun on the social worker, so the social worker stopped coming. So they just left me there. I was there for 10 whole years. 10 years of getting beat, I was more afraid of her than I was the rat that was in the house. They were big rats. They would get on the stove and try to knock the top off the pot on the stove because they knew food was in it. They would climb on my bed at night. I'd be scared and crying. I knew not to cry out loud because she'd come and beat me. I would take my feet and shake the bed. And when I shake the bed, they'd jump off and fall on the floor. One day a rat ran up my leg. It was a little small baby rat. And I killed it. And my brother, I begged and begged and begged my brother to take it outside and don't tell her, because I probably would have got a beating for that too. When I wasn't the only victim, but I was the worst victim. She hated all the girls and loved the boys. The boys could do nothing wrong. They would dip and go, but we were horrible. One day she wanted to go downtown. No, my sister wanted to go out downtown, my older sister, Lois. And so she decided, the mother decided she wanted to go too. She didn't want to go no more because she know that when they go out, she shows out. So she decided not to go. She got mad, and she sprung my sister's arm by beating her with a shoe heel. And then told her when they had to go to the doctor, told her, you better tell them that two of your sisters was fighting, and you got in the middle of it to try to break it up. And so she did, and they let it go like that. One time, I'm skipping because it's so much, I can't tell you all of it. Some things I will never tell because I'm too embarrassed. One time when I was 16, I couldn't believe my stroke of luck. My sister had a boyfriend that he would come and talk to me. I'd be in a room by myself. I was kept a prisoner in there. I couldn't go outside. I had to stay inside because she didn't want nobody to know she had a retarded child. I'm not retarded. I'm just lying. Okay, but she didn't know the difference and didn't want to know the difference. He would come and talk to me, and I told him I had saw something on TV. Well, I say saw, but I didn't see it. On TV about apricot facial scrub, and it sounded like something I wanted. I wanted that. So I told him, I would love to have that. And he said, you know what, I'm going to get you some. I said, cool, thank you. So I don't know what made her decide to do this, but she decided to let me go outside with my sister to go over to my older sister Lois' house, because my older sister moved in with her boyfriend to get away from her because she was abusive and with words and actions. So we went over there, and while I was gone, my brother, youngest brother, my brother decided to start from there. So he called her. He said, Linda said she's going to move out. She's going to get her own apartment, and she's not going to be here anymore. So when I got home, she went off on me about it because I wasn't going nowhere. She said, I'll be here until I was 50 years old. She'll still be getting my check, and she'll still be beating me. So in my mind, I'm going, no, this not going to happen. I'm going to go. God's going to deliver me from this. I knew there was a God. I knew. I just didn't know when he was going to deliver me from it. So she found out that my brother-in-law, well, he wasn't my brother-in-law then, but she found out he had bought me some apricot facial scrub. And she said, how dare you ask him for something like that? You know, Lois and Larry, that's his name, is trying to get ready to have their wedding. And you have the nerve to ask him for something? And I said, I didn't ask him. He said that he would get it for me. She said, you talking back to me? And she told my brother to go get the belt. And he went in there and got it and brought it back. And she hit me and I fell. Then she hit me again in the face. And my eye shot blood out of it. And my brother starts screaming. Then she starts screaming. And so she begged me. She got on her knees and begged me not to tell that she had did that to me. She said, I will get you some watermelon if you don't tell. And so my dad, when he came to visit us, he said, what happened to your eye? And I said, I ran into a door trying to go listen to music. That was another thing she deprived me of, TV and radio. Anything she thought that made me happy, she deprived me. My brothers and sisters was not very nice to me, but I'm grateful that when we got older, some of us got better. So I want to get to another part before it's time for me to stop talking, because I don't want to take up all the time. So let me skip to when I was 16. I told you about me saying I wanted to get out. I wanted to be in my own place. She told me that she would kill me and bury me in the backyard, and nobody would never know because no one knew I existed anyway. She told when she would tell people, I got 7 children, and they would say to themselves, I heard them say that it was outside, and we lived in houses that was very, very close to each other. And they would sit outside and talk. And I heard one guy say, she says she's got 7 children, but we didn't see no 7 cars. Where's he at? Or where's he at? One day she was beating me, and I said, I'm at the trunk. And the guy that lived in the staircase, he really liked him. I mean, not Dan, but he liked my brother also, so he's not my son. Anyway, he really liked Arthur, so he asked her, he said, why were you beating Arthur like that? I heard his name crying. He thought for a second. Then she called herself and said, oh, he had did something bad, and I had to punish him. But it wasn't Arthur that got beat and thrown behind the trunk. It was me. So let me go to when I was 16. I know I keep going back, but it's so much. I can't even begin to tell you how much. Okay, so when I was 16, my sister Lois and her husband, well, it was going to be her husband, they got married. But they was going to go to the wedding, and I just knew I was going. I don't know why I thought that, because she hid me. So why did I think that she let me out? So my brother said, what about Linda? Are you going to get her ready so she can go? He said, no, she's going to stay here by herself. She's too dirty and stinking to go. So I stayed here by myself on the floor. And I was crying, because I really wanted to go. And I said, oh, God, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? I need help. And I said, God, if it's your will for me to try to help myself, please let me know with some kind of signal or some kind of sign. And all of a sudden, I felt so joyous. I felt so free. And it's like something was saying, it didn't say it, but it was like something was saying, get up, go help yourself run. My sister snuck and showed me how to use the phone because she said, if you ever need help, you'll know how to use the phone to help yourself. So what I did was I called. I was smart enough to, when I pitched O, to tell them I wanted to make a collect call. I called my foster uncle. And he was like, I told him my name. And he was like, oh, Linda. Linda, who is Linda? I said, you know me, Uncle Naughty. Because that was his nickname, Uncle Naughty. I'm Linda. I'm the one that stayed with your sister, the blind girl. And he said, oh, I remember you. And then so he said, he told him, I would accept the call. So I was talking to him. I was crying and telling him some of the things. I couldn't even tell him everything. I was just telling him a little of it. And I asked about my mom and dad, because that's what I called them, mom and dad. He said, they're still living in Demopolis, and he gave me the number. So I called. I asked for a collect call again, and my foster mom answered the phone,
And I said, it's Linda. And she said, start crying. She said, Linda? And she said, why has it been so long since she called me after she told me she would accept the call? And I told her going on. And she promised me she was going to get me out. But in my mind, I didn't think so. I just thought it was just something to make me feel better. But she did get me out. The police came to the house. They got my sister out too, my sister Irene, my youngest sister, because my sister Irene was going to, she was going to high school. And my brother, he beat her so bad she couldn't use her hand. And she was in a typing class. When they saw she couldn't use her hand, they sent her to the counselor. And the counselor got her out, and I got out, thanks to my foster mom that I had when I was from 2 years old to six. When they came to get me, my brother told her, Mom, you better come, it's something bad. And she went to the door and they told her that they was there to get Linda so-and-so. But they had already got her ring so-and-so. And she was like, pulling my arms. She told me, come there. And then she was pulling my arms saying, you can't take my babe. And you can't take my babe. I'm going to call the lawyer, Lindbergh. And they said, call whoever you want to call. But she's coming with us. So she was pulling my right arm. The policeman was pulling my left. So I pulled my arm away from the policeman, and I touched her hand. She didn't like me touching her or anything. So when I touched her hand fell away from my right wrist, and then he started walking me out. And she said, if you got to take her through the back door so the neighbors can't see. I don't want the neighbors to know what's going on. And it was raining, so my brother went and got me something to cover my head up, and he told me, I hate you. It's your fault Irene got taken away, and I hate you. But once I got to the shelter, it's like I came alive again. All the love and care that my foster mom and dad had gave me, I was coming back to myself. I became outspoken. I became joyous. I started going to school, and they asked me, the social worker asked me, she said, if I could do anything for you, what would you want me to do? I told her, because I was going to two schools too, but they didn't know what to do with me. I was so far behind in school, but they were trying, and I was trying too, and I was happy to go to school. So she asked me, if we could do anything for you, what would you want us to do, Linda? I said, I want to go to the school for the blind. And they got quiet for a second. Then they said, how do you know about the school for the blind? I said, I hear about it on TV. And I want to go. So they fixed it so I could go. So I didn't know it was a such thing as people, more than one child in the family being blind. But I met two sisters, and I'm like, whoa, I thought it just happened to one person. They was like, no. They showed me around campus and stuff, and I was hanging with the bad ones and didn't know it. They were getting in trouble and trying to get me in trouble, but when I figured out that they were not the best people to hang around, I started hanging around some other people, and they were a little bit snooty, a little bit uppity, but hey, and it made me grow. It made me grow. And let's see, what can I tell you? I was in a singing contest and a fashion show at the school for the blind, and my dad didn't want to believe that my mom had done the things that I said she did. And well, he brought her up to the school for the blind. Oh, my gosh. I was scared. He wasn't supposed to see me. And when my friends found out that she was there, we were practicing for the singing contest and the fashion show and everything. When they found out she was there, they all ran off the stage and stood around me. They wanted to meet a person that would do some of the things she did. And she had this, like, she was so innocent. She had this little country bell kind of voice, and she was just, oh, I'm so glad to meet you, Linda's friends, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking in my mind, oh, God, please let me deal with this. Please don't let her hurt me again. But she didn't get a chance to. And I'm trying to think of some good things to tell you. I ended up with some pretty good friends. I shocked everybody. And when I was in my last year of school, I don't know if you can call it, I didn't graduate the way everybody else did. I was pre-vote, so they gave me a certificate. But about a month or two before I graduated, they had a talent show. And I went into the bathroom and practiced and practiced because I wanted the echo to see what I sound like. So I went in the school bathroom and practiced and practiced. So when we had the show, I went up and saw The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. And I got a trophy. I already had won a track trophy, so I had two trophies. I was with my, oh, God, I skipped so much. This was my third foster family I was in when I won the track trophy and everything. So I got ready to graduate. And if I'm talking too long, please let me know. Anyway.
You're actually fine, Miss Linda. I just want to know if you want a break or anything. But you're fine. But just do you want a break or are you okay?
No, I want to go and I get it over with.
Okay. Well, you go ahead.
So, when I got ready to graduate, they took me and put makeup on me. And I had a boyfriend. I forgot to tell you, I had two boyfriends because I had one, and he was kind of abusive, so I got away from him. Then I got another boyfriend that was at the trade school where I was going to have to go when I graduate, but I ended up not going there. I went home. So he came to the my graduation. But before, they were putting makeup on me, and I had on a nice dress and stuff like that. And I kept saying, I would hear that this person's mom came for their graduation, that person's dad and their family, this family. And I said to the teacher, I said, nobody's going to be here for me. I said, some of my friends are, but no, I know parent is going to be here because my foster parents can't come. And I guess she got tired of me saying this. She said, Linda, babe, I'll be your mom for the day. And then I almost cried. And I would have messed up my makeup, but I caught myself and then cried. So I had this strange friend. I love her, but she was strange. She came into the auditorium in the back where we was getting ready, in the ante room where they hide you until it's time for you to come out and put everybody to see you. So she said, Linda, 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 Linda. She was just overjoyed. And I'm like, what's wrong with you, Loretta? That's what I said to her. She said, your mama is here and your dad and your brother and his wife. And I went, what? Then part of me was happy that my dad and brother and his wife was there. But part of me was fearful because she was there. I was scared. And I was happy at the same time, but I was scared. And when I graduated and walked across the stage and we went to everybody to tell us what they, you know, what they thought of us and they loved us or whatever they thought, she was there playing like she was the best mom ever. Thank you, she said. Oh, I'm They would tell her, oh, Linda turned out to be such a lady, and she grew
at the school for the blind. She really did, and she lost a lot of weight, and she's little, and she did what she needed to do. And she was eating it up. Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Linda got such good friends and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I went back to my foster parents, my third foster mom. And I got a job, summer job, working at the Humane Society, answering phones and taking messages. So that was cool. I already had got my own job when I was 17. A new beauty shop had opened up. It was called Total Image Beauty Salon. And I called them and told them that I would like to help people to know who they are by calling and telling them about the beauty salon. And they said they would pay me. They paid me $120 a week. And that was good money, especially for teenagers. So I would pay somebody to read the numbers out to me, and I would call them and say, hi, my name is Glenda so-and-so. And did you know that there's a new beauty salon open up called Total Image Beauty Salon? And I would tell them the prices and everything, so they would come in. And I'd say, when you go in, tell them that Glenda so-and-so sent you, so they'll know that I did my job. They said they would. And so that's how I funded my school, back to school wardrobe and everything I needed for school. Okay. So when I graduated, I got a summer job at the Humane Society. And while I was working there, I got another job as the industry for the blind. So when my summer job ended, I would start working at the industry. So I did. I went there in 1986. September the 15th, I started the job at the industry. And I met someone. And I met someone. I fell in love with him. And we produced two children. I have a son, John, and a daughter, Tanika. And I was afraid at first when I found out I was expecting my son. I was so excited that they put me out of the doctor's office when I found out I was pregnant. I was so excited. They told me I need to leave, but they told me nicely. So I did leave, and I was just so excited. So I was afraid that she was in me, and I didn't want to hurt my child. I wanted to love my baby. So I did go to a pastoral counselor, and he helped me and everything. So when I had him, oh, God, there's so much more I could tell you all, but I'll leave it like it is. Then my daughter, I ended up with a daughter, Tanika, and she had visual problems. But she could see pretty well after they did the cataract surgery, but she still needed some help with her vision. But both my children went to public school until she was 13. And she told me she didn't want to go to a school to pick on her because of her sight. And I told her, in order to go to school for the blind, we're going to have to move. I said, because I'm not going to allow you to be raised by someone other than me. So we did move. Trying to think, I'm sure I'm missing some stuff that was good. I want to tell you good things as well as what went on that wasn't so good. 21, I felt like I was calling my name. He wanted me, and I wanted to do my best to do the right thing. I didn't do so right by having two children and wasn't married, but I still believe in God. And I know he can forgive. I had the children by myself. And, you know, when I say by myself, I mean I raised them with God's help. And some of my friends would help me along the way. They grew up, went to college. And my daughter worked at the Regional Center for the Blind. My son works at a place called Marvin's. They they are good children. They are good children. I've been through some health problems, and they've been right there for me. Alexa, stop. I'm sorry. I'm a diabetic, so I ended up having to have two of my toes amputated, and the doctor wanted me to go to the nursing home. I told him no, I was going home because my children were there with me until I got better. The doctor got mad at me and told me, if they had took such care of you, then you wouldn't be in the shape you're in. And I stood up in the bed and told him, you do not talk about my children. They love me. They've been good to me. It was my fault. My fault that it happened. So, you know, leave my children out of this conversation. But, so, I've had some blessings that happened to me along the way. I'm so glad that God intervened and got me out of the situation I was in. Every October the 9th, in a way, I don't do it out where everybody can hear it, but I toast myself with a Pepsi or I toast myself with a peach drink or whatever. And I, first of all, I thank God. Then I toast myself and say, another year, I'm out another year. I'm so glad you all invited me to have this conversation with you all. I'm sorry I got a teary, but I'm grateful. Grateful for you all. Grateful that I have a story to tell. So much more. I would need a ghostwriter, but I wanted to do a book because I felt like if I tell this story, it's going to help someone. Someone is going to be helped by this. I felt like I would keep part of the money for myself if the book turned out good, and I would give part of it to children, women and children that's been abused. Because I don't forget where I've been. When I came to the shelter, I only had clothes on my back, and they were dirty and nasty, and they had to dress me inside out. So I remember that. I don't forget who you all are.
Wow.
Cindy, you are so, so welcome. And we just, I'm going to start opening these mics. Thank you so much for that. That took so much bravery, so much confidence. Okay, 216, you are, Mr. Six, you are too already. Let's go start opening up some of these mics.
Yes. If I may, ma'am, that's a very powerful story. Very powerful story. This is Six Eyes. And if you, Queen, make sure I get her information. AJ, we got another project.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Oh, my God, that was so beautiful. Like,
yeah,
your book.
I was.
Oh,
really
my
was.
God. Miss Linda. You had me over here about to cry. Like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry you went through that, you know. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just want to, can I say I love you? Because
yeah.
You went through so much.
It was hard, but it was done for a reason. God must have had this to bring, you know, sometimes bad things happen for a reason. To bring, to let me know how good he is.
No.
Only the strong survive, baby. Only the strong survive.
You are
definitely
survivor.
A survivor. You're a phoenix. All you've been through, you're a palm tree. You bent, but you didn't break. God bless you.
All
and
right.
Love you.
God bless you.
And also, Linda, just know that this was in God's plan. This was in God's plan, and it worked out exactly the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have to go through a lot of stuff sometimes to get where
we're
going to end up at.
They say it's already set in stone.
Yeah,
we're going to go through, you know.
Yes.
I have
May
a question.
Okay.
Do you talk to any of your siblings?
Oh,
yes. I talk to four of them. Two of them don't want anything to do with me. It's okay. But four of them called me and wished me happy birthday. And it was my birthday. And one of them brought me a wheelchair. I can walk, but I can't walk a long, long steps. So he bought me a wheelchair. Shocked me, so he did.
Amen.
So I talked to four of them. I talked to my sister Lois, my sister Irene, my brother Arthur, and my brother Lawrence. Lawrence was the one that brought me the wheelchair.
Amen.
That's special. Amen for you.
May I?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. I tell you one thing for sure, Linda, and two things that I know. You are brave. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt. I had not walked in your shoes, but I feel your pain. I feel your pain, and there's still so much more that you haven't even uncovered that you're still holding and dealing with and speaking. It still hurts you. It hurts me for you to be hurt, for you to be hurt. And some things you say you would never tell. You would never tell. And that in itself lets you know that this is what this platform is about, that somebody has the ear to hear the cry, crying in the wilderness, silent cries. So many times you cry silently because you didn't want to be heard and you didn't want to be beat. And I'm so acquainted with the beating. I'm so acquainted with the rape and the molestation. I'm so acquainted with the overwhelming. But I encourage you tonight, my sister, my daughter, my friend, I encourage you tonight that you have made a step. Amen. Your step has been long stretched. And this is a healing process that you still, amen, you still have the opportunity to continue to grow. That book that you want to write, that book is going to be fictitious because God is going to make it happen for you. God is going to make it happen for you. And I just encourage you to continue to pick up your cross. The more that you tell your story, the greater your healing device will be for you. Don't let your past define your purpose for your future. And I know you have great potentials and great strength because look at what God has brought you from. And you're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. And we ask ourselves, why me, Lord? He said, why not you? Because he won't put no more on us than we can bear. We think some things that we have been through were overwhelming and overbearing. But God know that the one on the left or the one on the right may not could have taken what you have been through. Amen. You know, we can talk loud and saying nothing, and that ain't about a honey bun. Until you walked in those shoes, you can't tell the story. But your healing, the healing process began tonight with you. Those things that been buried, that you brought back alive, I'm telling you, you had me in tears of war tonight, amen, checking myself because I almost wrecked myself as well, too, amen, in the mental capacity because I wasn't fit to live and God wasn't ready for me to die. But I see that you're still here, you're still living, and you continue to tell your story, amen. You continue to be released like an access. Oh, blah, blah, what a fears it is. You continue to be released because you have began the healing process again. Those broken pieces, those broken wings that has been broken for a long time, that you were able to get some of it out and so much more to be told. You continue to speak and you continue to heal somebody else that went through the same thing that you went through. I went through and others has went through. You continue to tell your story to somebody that needs that healing and need to be released. Amen. Because somebody's locked up in their own mind mentally and psychologically and emotionally because they are afraid to speak. But you had that voice tonight and that silent voice became alive tonight. So live, Linda. Live, my beautiful one. You live. you live and you continue to persevere. You know I love you, and there's nothing you can do about me loving you. And you just continue to keep your hands
that part.
Master, and you continue to sing praises unto the Lord. God bless you. You know I love you.
God bless you. Bless you.
Thank you.
850, your mic is open.
May I?
Absolutely, you may.
Oh my goodness. Oh Lord, I'm here holding my breath. Oh my goodness. You know they have a saying, when you think you got a problem, somebody else is worse mm-hmm. off than you.
That's right.
You know, I'm here holding my breath. Oh Jesus. Oh my goodness. Oh Lord Jesus. Ooh, I'm holding my breath, Linda. Oh, gosh. Oh, Jesus. I thought I had problems. I thought I'd been through stuff. But hearing you tonight, oh,
uh-huh.
Lord Jesus. Oh, uh-huh. My goodness, Lord, have mercy. But, you know, God is good. Everything happens for a purpose. But you said something. You said there are some things you would never tell. But I guarantee you this. You can tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's uh-huh. your best friend. You know,
huh?
And, oh, my goodness. I don't even know what to say, Linda. I don't know what to say. I'm weak. You know, sometimes you think you're tough. You know, I ain't going to cry. I'm tough. I'm big. But, oh, Lord, have mercy. But you're a superstar in my eyesight. I never saw you. For Jesus, and I like the part when you say you was praying. You was praying, and your mother did that to you. I'm like, oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I thank God for you, young lady. I thank God for you. I thought I'd been through something. I thought I'd been raped and molested. But you? Oh, Jesus. You're strong. You're strong. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose and a plan. And, you know, just cry out to Jesus. What you can't tell nobody, don't keep it to yourself. Because sometimes when we keep things inside of us, it makes us go off mentally. Our mind gets lost and confused. But you can tell it to Jesus, my dear. Tell it to Jesus. I mean, I like the part when you said you was at the graduation, and you was happy your dad was there, and then, oh, my hair, come on. And they act so innocent, like they love you so much, you know. And all the words she tell you and all that stuff. I don't know how they didn't put her in jail. I don't know how they didn't put her in jail and throw away the key. But you know what, Linda, you know what's the hardest part? You're going to have to do, I know you're probably already doing it. You have to forgive her. That's the part. You have to ask God to teach you the power of forgiveness. Please ask God to teach you that. Because I'm in tears, Linda. Because I can't believe what I'm hearing tonight. But people go through stuff.
Yes.
You know, you remind me of the news. They had a thing on the news where they had where they found all these children. And they was abusing them. They was getting their check, taking their check, and was abusing them and raping them and got pregnant for this man. But somehow somebody cried out, the neighborhood saw it, and the police intervened at the whole house. They put them in jail. You know, I'm not going to talk too long. A lot of people got to talk to, but I'll be praying for you. And God bless you. You're a superhero in my eyesight. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Uh-huh.
May I?
Absolutely, ma'am.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good to hear you, girl.
You too.
Hey, mother.
Although I've heard your story before, it was touching then, it still was touching. Who want to do something like that? It just make me weak, Linda, but you went on with your story. And I remember sometimes I shared some of your, you know, shared with you with caring your children, that's raising your children.
Yes,
you did what you could to make ends meet, make sure they were taken care of. You did good, and you didn't, you know, give up. You did what you had to do for them. Here they are, they looking out for you now.
Bless.
Amen. And Linda, it was, you know, we went to the same school, worked at the same place, and I was surprised when I heard your voice. I said, ooh, Linda, I know Linda. And you know, you never know who's going to be on. I know they sometimes might surprise people. You know, it's going to be a surprise if you don't know. But, you know, I just hate to see your mama do you like that. Although some of the things my mama could have did better, but she didn't abuse me, though. She abused her mind sometimes, but not my body. But, you know, you went through it. You was able to tell it. That was matter. God brought you through it. You tell it. You still here. You still doing good by the grace of God. You continue to live the way God wants you to live. I heard you say that. And that's a good thing to do. And I hope and pray that your children continue to look out for their mother as you did so much to take care of them. I'm a witness of that. So me and you talk just about it every day.
Yes.
And I'm a witness to her. She was a good mother and did the best that she could. And that's all what matters. And like I said before I get off here, God brought you through and it didn't sound good and it wasn't good. But God brought you through and he was able to tell it. Continue to live the life God wants you to live, young lady. And continue to show love towards your children as they show it to you. God bless you, my sister.
God bless you, too.
May I?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yes.
First, I'd like to apologize for not being able to introduce you, Linda. I was at the emergency room with my daughter, but she seems to be doing.
Oh, God. You okay?
And, and you know, I've always been there for you, and especially for John and Tamika, because I used to love giving them cookies. I'm very proud of you. I met you long, long time ago when you were dating my cousin, and I thought, how in the world could he luck up with such a beautiful lady like you? Whatever did he did. But anyway, I want to let you know I'm here. I wasn't able to introduce you, but I did let it be known why I wasn't here. Thank you.
Yes.
We got
Thank
you, God, Father. We have you.
Amen. Exactly.
Absolutely. There's no need to apologize, sir. And we hope that your family is doing okay and as well, too.
Well, I see it is. There
you go. That's what I'm talking about.
That's it.
That part.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is Two Feet from South Carolina, Miss Linda. I never heard your story before, but I have spoken with you several times. But I thank you for your wonderful words of encouragement, telling your story, your testimony. And just know that you are blessing us, and God is blessing you even more. And I thank you for just, you know, shaming the devil, because the devil probably didn't want you to speak. But you spoke and you sang the devil, and to let you know, I got about 3 texts. Well, I know 2 people that's still listening right now, as well as somebody that's listening but can't because they're at work. But you're blessing them right now with your story, and I want you to know that from Miss Shannon, who's at work, you're blessing her right now with your encouraging story, and she thanks you very much for it. And just keep on keeping your hand in God's hand, and let Jesus Christ continue to lead you everywhere you go. And this number, prayer is the key to all success in life. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Ooh, and Miss Linda, I want to thank you because every time that I call you, you are one of the ones don't never say no out of all those people who used to be on the list. You have never said, you have always said yes. So I want to thank you for all those times that you did
for me.
I want to be a beat. So I just thank you. I just thank you so much because I never would have. If I knew, I never would have even asked you. If I knew your story and knew you was going through like that, I wouldn't have never even asked you. But I just thank you for all the times that you have came and blessed us with your story at the BLB and even on your when you came to this platform. I thank you for it as well. So just thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you that we were able to keep in touch with each other. Thank you so much. Thank you for your story.
You're welcome. I'm glad you invited me. I'm glad because like they were saying, it needed to come out. It's like a boil.
That's right.
If you don't lance that boil, it's just going to stay there.
That's right.
God took care of me. He took care of me. He took care of my children.
Praise God.
Wow.
Amen. And Miss Sun, we want you to know that you're always welcome to come through and listen. You know,
absolutely.
You know, you already told your story.
Absolutely.
You're welcome every Friday night, every Saturday night. Just come through.
Thank you.
And, you know. Mm-hmm. You'll be on the other side. You'll be on the other side. Well, you can ask the questions this time.
Exactly.
You'll be on the other side. But you're welcome. You are welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you each and every one of you.
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen. May I ask a question?
Absolutely.
This platform, when you tell your story, this is only for visual impaired?
No, ma'am.
No.
No. This is for anybody that wants to share their story.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
This platform is for anyone who has a story, some they feel they need to get heard, get off their chest, some injustice, something we can help maybe right. But, yes, this platform is, like I said, we have an open door policy for anyone. We don't discriminate here. This is not about being judgmental. We understand we all come from walks of different life, and we've all got a story to tell.
That's right.
And that's why we are the squad, and that stands for special qualities that you add, and that's what it's all about. Each and every one of us. On the Six Eyes Radio Network, on AJ and the Squad, the Queen's Court. We all have our own qualities, and we all bring them to the platform, as do all of the callers and those who, you know, testify and give the testimonies. And that's what makes this so special and unique. Like I said, there's no fake, there's no phony. These aren't, you know, handwritten scripts. We pass out the callers and say, call in and read. No, it's none of that. This is real. This is true. This is genuine. These are people's lives. These are survivor stories of real warriors. People who have really been through things that I would say the average who call themselves quote unquote normal, yeah, you put them in your shoes and they wouldn't last 5 minutes. That's just my personal experience. That's just my personal experience. It's just my personal opinion, and I keep saying, I'm gonna keep saying, it's another reason why I love being a part of this platform, the 6 Hours Radio Network, AJ and the Squad, and the Queen's Court, is because we keep bringing survivor after survivor. Because we understand, we keep saying it. We know that people are listening, and like I said, the movement is movement, is moving. People understand. It's okay. We're living in a generation now where you know you got these mobs. Oh, don't say this and don't say that, and you know all this critical race thinking and all. We understand that, and that's part of the platform. The reason why we have this platform is we want everybody and anybody. Come on here and express yourself and not have to worry about prejudice or somebody laughing at you or making fun of you or trying to bully you or trying to keep you down or stop you from telling your story or putting out into the universe something that may save somebody else's life. Like I say, these stories are archived forever. You can hear them in all of America and 60 other countries. And every Friday, I just know for a fact that we are archiving a story that's really gonna make a difference. It's really gonna change and help. So I'm thankful and appreciative that you came through and you shared your testimony with us tonight. And I know I know. You good. I know you're going to be okay.
Okay. I was thinking about.
And if you
want to
put that book out, put that book out because I'm working on mine.
I want
to. I promise.
Yeah, I need help. I need help to put mine out too. But while I was thinking of October. October is Breast Cancer Month and
mm-hmm.
also Domestic Violence Month.
Yep, we
domestic
talked about
violence.
That last week. Absolutely.
Yeah, I missed that last week. I missed that. But, yeah, so thank you anyway. Thank you. And I guess I don't know how to say it, but I do need help with a book. I do need help with writing a book and all that stuff. I just don't know how to do it.
Well, I think we can do is we have Mr. Six has access to publishing. We also have a couple publishers, if I'm not mistaken, or at least authors that are a part of our family, our new family on here. So I've been hearing a lot of that, and it's one of the things that I wanted to do was to actually have my own publishing company. Just because I understand the avenue that there are people like us. Just imagine, we're a small group getting bigger and we're trying to find everybody. You know, like I told Mr. Six about trying to find, you know, those who are scattered in the flock. They need a place. They need an outlet. I've done research and I'm, you know, trying to go, you know, a specific place for people who are visually impaired or handicapped or disabled. Where is an author at for us? Where is someone who, you know, these type of stories? And like I said, all these stories are being archived. So when it comes to you want to express somebody about writing your book, pull your podcast up and tell them to listen. And that right there should inspire them to be like, sure, I understand, I get it. But we are working on a few things. On the nonprofit side, and if there's anything we can do to help get a published collective going. In other words, we understand you want to write a book, and you want to write a book, and I want to write a book, and you want to write a book, and you have other people that want to, you know, we're all trying to figure out how do you make that happen. And that's the process that I'm a part of. Anything I can do to help share, get that knowledge, wisdom back, I will most definitely do that. So stay tuned for that. And I think that maybe we should maybe get a list going of everybody who feels that they want to, you know, I want to publish a book. You know, I want something that I have to say. And then we get that together, and then maybe we just go looking as a collective to publishers and authors and say, listen, this is who we are. This is what we want. Help us. Because it is a procedure. A lot of people don't understand how to get start that procedure of, you know, being an author and in a book, writing a book, because there's so many outlets now. You can do audio books. You can, you know, you can do about a chapter. You know, it's all kind of things. So I think that's a good thing that we're bringing up, not only getting our stories out on this platform, but to come together collectively and try to build other platforms where we can get people who have stories, get them on hardback, you know, paperback, whatever the case may be, and put them out there. You never know. I'm, you know, my personal opinion is we all have bestsellers. That's just me, though.
Amen.
901, your mic is open.
Yes, sir.
You've been waiting patiently, and I appreciate that. But your mic is not open.
Hello, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Good evening to everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening. I first want to ask a question, and then I want to direct something to the young lady. Is it okay that I do a song, a verse?
Absolutely.
Okay, but before that, Ms. Linda, my name is Gregory. Why I cannot know the feeling that you went through, the pain that you suffered, the one thing I can say is that we serve a mighty God.
Amen.
He has you on this line with a very strong voice. Even though there was tears, those tears are not tears of sorrow. Those tears are tears of relief. Those tears are tears of joy because that is a part of who you were. again, that no longer affects who Linda is in the 21st century. And my prayer is that you continue to hold your head up high. And
that's
as that poem goes, a phenomenal woman, that is you. And you remember that. You let no one tell you any different.
That part.
Thank you.
And you are more than welcome. And I just want to sing a little song. I'm not the best singer, so, you know. But anyway.
And now the styling.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior of the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
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 That was good.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir.
Yes,
that was.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That was a
That's
beautiful
one of my song.
Beautiful song. Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
It was.
Yes. Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody?
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gray, for that. That was absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely.
We need to
you
pay
are more than
bills.
Welcome. Thank you
all.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Wait a minute. Let's find our sponsorship. Let's see.
May I?
Yes.
Sure, go ahead.
Linda Hall is John is Tanika now.
John is 34, and Tanika, she's 33.
Oh, wow. Staff steppers.
Yeah,
they moving on up, isn't they? Pushing us on up. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And I can say while I have the mic up, but we have the alumni, it's Linda's daughter. She come and visits. She's so helpful to everybody. And she just shows love all over the place. And I just appreciate people that, you know, don't mind helping one another, you know. We never know what spot we might be in and who might have to do for whoever or whatever. But her daughter shows love towards the world, because she could see much better than some of us, and she was there for us all. So God bless her daughter, and Linda, keep up the good work with your daughter with a good heart. God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of some business for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there shortly. Hope you are correct. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Mm-hmm. Was it worth it? He'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by
Amen.
Six Eyes Radio.
from AJ and the Squad. The Queen's Court and the Six Eyes Radio Network. Be safe out there while trick-or-treating this year. Watch out for the real predators, monsters, goons, and goblins.
Happy Halloween from AJ and the Squad and the Six Eyes Radio Network. Check, check.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
He did the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It got on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampire's feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sound. Igor on chain, backed by his baying hound. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It got on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on and flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what it said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll get on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash.
You mash.
That was Bobby Pickett with Monster Mash.
Oh, yeah.
Not right now.
Alrighty then.
It's a mash.
I remember that.
Monster
so,
mash.
With that being said, we're going to turn over and do a little celebration
nice
of Halloween.
Commercial.
Right. Now, some people might not celebrate Halloween. It's okay if you don't. But we're not looking at the bad aspect of Halloween. We're going to look at the fun the kids have, because it's all about the kids anyway. So we're going to look at the fun the kids have. And some of us might not be too thrilled about some of it, and we'll tell you why in a second. But Ms. Pride and Joy, do you have anything about Halloween you would like to share with us, ma'am?
I sure will.
All right.
History of Halloween. While Halloween was originated in Europe, the holiday became the celebration that we recognize today when we brought out our American by the early settlers. People originally carved out turnips and placed candles inside them to ward off the evil spirits. But Americans switched the turnips to pumpkins, and people would light bonfires and wear costumes And, you know, most of the costumes was of ghosts and the different kind of costumes. Port George designated November as the time to honor All Saints. So we have All Saints Day that's incorporated also into the traditional of Samaritans. American colonists are responsible to initially bringing Halloween to the United States. Most of the colonies were English, and other colonists who celebrate Samaritans began taunting the new country. Although the Celtic religious transitional long been replaced by Christian, many of the old practice remained every October the 31st. People all over the United States celebrate Halloween with their costumes, their haunted houses. They go out and visit and go out to different houses and get, you know, different kind of candies, and the doors are also decorated. And they call that day, you know, American history for Halloween.
Thank you, Ms. Pottinger. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people that don't have a problem with Halloween are people whose birthdays is on Halloween. We have Vanilla Ice.
Right.
We have...
Yo, what up? Bust it. We're listening to AJ and the Squad. Rob Van Winkle. AJ and the Squad. Bust it.
Right. We have the daughter of Will and Jada. Willow Smith should be 21 on Halloween. We have Lord of the Rings star Sir Peter Jackson. He will be turning 60 on Halloween. Letitia Wright from the Black Panther should be turning 28 on Halloween. Ron Rifkin from Wes Craven's movie The Pulse, he'll be turning 82. Marcus Rayford, an English soccer player, he'll be turning 24. We have Princess Leonor, she's be turning 16. She's the heir to the Spanish throne. Imagine being 16 and the heir to a whole throne. Whew. She's only turning 16, and she is the heir to the Spanish throne.
Wow.
Adam Hurwitz from the Beastie Boys, he'll be turning 55. And Sidney Park, he'll be turning 25. He's an actor that played in The Walking Dead and Someone's in the House. And those are celebrity birthdays for October 31st. Now, they like Halloween.
Yes.
But we know somebody that didn't like Halloween. Destiny, you back there somewhere.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This is Destiny. I do not like Halloween.
And why don't you like Halloween?
This is Destiny. Yeah, this is Destiny calling from out of Virginia. It's not really about the ghosts and the goblins that I don't like about Halloween, but I have had two bad experiences on Halloween. Well, one Halloween, I had took my daughter trick-or-treating, and we were walking through the streets, and all of a sudden I was on the ground with one leg down in, like, the water mess hole, not really the mess hole in the street, but on the side of the street. So I'm walking there, and the next day I know my whole leg is down in there. So I had two of my friends with me. I had to get them to get me up. And I guess I was so excited that nothing had been broken or anything. I didn't think about calling no town. I didn't think about calling no cop, no nothing. I just was so thankful to get out of that hole.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so, like, back, I was just, like I said, I was just so thankful to get out of the hole. I didn't care about calling no cops about the situation, reporting it or anything. So that was that time. Then there was another time, you know how you take knives for
protection.
You might want to take a knife for security because on Halloween people be jumping out of the leaves and stuff.
Right.
Well, back about 23 years before my daughter was born, I was taking my cousin trick-or-treating, and it was me and my cousin and her mother. So I'm taking her trick-or-treating, and I decide to go back to the vehicle. And I had taken a knife with us for protection, just in case somebody wanted to do something. But it wasn't a pocket knife. It was a straight kitchen knife, open. So as I got back to the car to get into the car, I sat on the knife. Oh, my goodness. So I'm stuck in between the steering wheel and the car, and I'm trying to pull it out. This knife. I know they say you shouldn't pull it out because you're going to bleed out, but I had to pull it out because that was the only way I could have sat down or whatever. So I pull out this knife, and my cousin came back to the car, and as she came back, I calmly told her, I said, we can't go trick-or-treating anymore. I have to go home. I cut myself. So she didn't know to what extent. So I'm driving in the road from, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes away from my house. So as I'm driving down the road, I feel myself about to faint. My cousin did not know how to drive. Okay, so I'm in a turmoil now, and I'm like, Lord, please, just give me the strength to make it home. So as we got home, I didn't call an ambulance or anything. As we got home, I told her, I said, you're going to help me because I can hardly walk. So you're going to help me get a tourniquet and put it on my leg. So she got my boyfriend at the time belt. And she tied a tourniquet around my leg, and it finally, after about 30 minutes, stopped the bleeding. And I treated it, and I packed it with that old-fashioned medicated Vaseline. If you all know, in the brown bottle, the old-fashioned medicated Vaseline. Yes.
Yep.
Packed it with that, and I patted it down real good, and I just did it myself. And to this day, after 20-some years, I still wear that scar as a remembrance of Halloween, of what not to do on Halloween. So please, people, don't be like me and harm yourself when you're trying to run away from fear. So just take it for what it is. And for those of you that celebrate it, you celebrate it well. For those of you who don't celebrate it, just pray for those that do.
That part.
And I was on, this is off the subject, well, not really off the subject, but I was on Facebook today, and this part is going to make you laugh. I don't know if you all saw, but they had brought up, like, when back there when we were younger, we used to wear these costumes, like the strawberry shortcake costume or the Batman concert, and, you know, the mask was... Like, we're fussing about the mask now that we have to wear due to COVID, but those masks are nowhere near like that Halloween mask that you put on with the rubber band at the back of your head.
Right.
You know, you can hardly see through them. You can hardly breathe through them. And the plastic outfit, all you can hear was shush, shush, shush when you walk in.
Right.
So, sticking to you trying to take it home.
Yeah, I got some Halloween stories. My mask always broke, and the little strap that one of them always would break.
Yep. And you had to hold it to your face. Get to the door and hold it to your face, and then say trick or treat.
Can't hardly see out of the eye holes.
Nope.
Can't hardly breathe.
No, not at all.
Destiny.
Well, we even
weird,
in grammar
school.
Wouldn't fit your face right.
Yeah. Right. Remember when we was in grammar school, we had to go around all the classes.
Yeah,
I'm like, why do we have to do this? Just give us a candy, guys.
Yeah.
We used to do, parade around each floor, and then in the afternoon we would parade around in the gymnasium with the costume.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Look, my mama wasn't into spending money on costumes like that. I swear, I was a pumpkin for all my years in grammar school. I couldn't wait to get rid of that damn costume, I swear. I was a pumpkin K through 8th, okay?
Well, at least you got to actually be a costume or something. We used to always get one of my brothers would get one of my mama's wigs. They put smut on their face. They put lipstick on them. They may throw on a dress or something on one of the sons. You know, they wasn't going out spending money on their costume. Now I can make stuff right here in the house. But, Mama, we did that last year. And
My best friend did that. He wanted to go all out for Halloween one year. He was like, friend, let me get one of your wigs. I said, you need a shirt. He had my black queen skirt on. I guess he wore his own shirt. He took my Victoria pink little duffel bag. He had my pink He was like, he said, I think I can slip in your shoes without hurting my feet for the night. He had on these pink all-stars that went up your calf. Oh, man, he was killing me. But he didn't even win. I was like, he had the bangles on. And he had the nerve to say, let me get a tampon and a pad. I'm putting it in the bag. So if they go to my bag, I said, that was wrong. They ain't even let you win. And he had lip gloss. It was just so funny.
Yes. After my brothers and them got old enough to be like, Mama, no. She stopped doing that. She right. started doing something else. Enough was enough.
Right. I know he had that good Remy wig on with the part down the middle. I said,
And my mom didn't really wear makeup. She only wore lipstick. So she used to put lipstick on their jaws for makeup. Boy, my brother broke out. He got the scratches going on one night. I said, y'all put it for blessing, huh? But they ain't care. They're going to get that candy. They ain't care.
They didn't care, huh?
But when they got old enough, they was like, Mama, nope. That's it.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go as the good devil tomorrow. I ain't going to be the bad devil. I'm going to be the good devil.
Okay.
You're
right.
Where are you
I'm
going
to give out candy. I'm going to be the good devil.
Nobody's going to
call me the bad devil.
Anybody else got any Halloween stories they want to share?
Yeah, I have one.
Don't be scared.
My kids always say they never go Halloween, they never go trick or treat. My first thing, my wife wouldn't go on camera. I can't blame her. So I made up one day, okay, I'm going to put an end for this and forever. I got them all out. I walked in for about 2 or 3 miles. I came to the great-grandfather's house at the time. I deviled back and came to some old friends' house, went by my mother's house. And then I brought them home, and they were so sad that they didn't eat the candy, and they never asked me again. I broke that one up right easy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Halloween story.
So yeah. I
admit to this, 40 years old to this day, I am the biggest chicken when it comes to horror movies and that kind of stuff. I don't watch that stuff. But one year we had went to the fire department, and I still could see at this time. So I was probably about I was vision impaired, but I still had enough vision to see. So when you went up to the fire department, they had one of the firemen dressed up as a deceased person laying in an actual casket, and then they had the strobe lights where it was, flashing on his face and all of that. So you walk up to the casket, and you got the two firemen on the standing beside the casket. So you walk up to the casket, and when you get there was a ball of candy sitting in the middle of the stomach area. Man, I got ready to reach for the candy, and that damn thing reached up and grabbed me.
I know you almost peed on yourself, didn't you, boy?
Man. Oh, crazy.
Candy, I ain't care about none of it.
Well, you know, when you come up here next month, we still got a haunted house going on, so that's what we going to do.
All right, that's what's up. All right. That's what you and who going to do. I ain't going to be a part.
We all going to do it. We a team. What the hell are you talking about?
This is the first time the word I is in team because I ain't going to be there. No, Lordy, my mama talking about going to go see this scary movie now where they talking about folks passing out and can't make it through the movie. Who in the hell wants to go see something like this?
Okay, I will not waste my money. I'm a scared fool. I ain't doing that.
They have this challenge out. It's called the Michael Myers Challenge. And it's actually pretty simple. I actually told Mario I want us to do it. So you get, like, so many feet away from your house. It's at night, of course. You get so many feet away from your house, it's you and somebody else. Well, that person give you the keys to the house. So you have to run to the house and get in the house as they're coming at you like they're going to kill you. And if you think about it, you think that would be simple. But it just shows you when you're nervous and you're scared, you can't get that kid in the house fast enough. So they, this girl and her family did it, and two of them got killed, and two of them didn't, of course, because two of them made it. But if you just think about, you know, I got the keys in my hand. You can't, you don't have time to organize the keys because the person that's coming to get you just hands you the keys. So you have to run to your house, unlock the door, while you know this person is coming after you. But it looked like it's just so much fun. I said, Mara, we're going to do that. I said, but I think I'm going to have to run after you. You have to run after me, because if I run after you, it's over for you. I'm just going to, I'm just telling you. I'm just not going to catch you. That's all there is to it. But
is somebody asleep?
No,
I don't know, but it sounds like it.
No, they're not asleep. They're not asleep.
No,
oh, they say Halloween,
Halloween
voice
now, right.
Or something. They say
Halloween. Okay.
They just enjoying
something.
Halloween. Yeah, I was gonna say something. I like, oh, they just.
I wish
Halloween.
I knew who they were with their mouth, but I might put some Xanax in their mouth.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
they're
treat,
not
treat. It's all part of the plan. All part of the plan.
Sweet.
That's
breaking
gonna
news.
Some eggs.
Breaking
well,
news.
I ain't throwing no eggs. It's eggs too high to be throwing. Okay.
Oh no. You ain't lying, they all now.
Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, I got one. Hey, like me, I've been a big fella back then when I was about 10, 11, but I remember when I first came over here in like 89, and we went down to one of my uncle's houses and friends and stuff. So we was at the house, and we watched all these Freddy versus Jason movies, and they had this one movie where this lady was running in the house, and they was trying to find who was killing all the people. So the lady would reach up and grab the ankle and just slit that little part right there down by the ankle where you couldn't walk.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, when I came outside at nighttime to a Halloween, about to go trick-or-treating, so my brother and my cousin, they played a trick on me. They going to go up, you know, up under the porch where you can reach your hand through the little wooden step, and they grab my ankle and they start thawing. So I screamed real loud, and I start pissing on myself. And so everybody pointed to me, oh, he peed on himself. My mom was like, oh, you going in to see anyway now. You should been watching the movie. So as a revenge, what I do now, I said, well, you know what? I know everybody that been picking at, everybody that been pointing at me. So what I do now, I get revenge, and I scare the piss out of everybody else's kids. So every Halloween, I either laying down on the ground, camouflage, and when they come to say trick-or-treat, I jump up with a chainsaw and everything, running after kids, and I scare the crap out of them. And I scared one lady so bad, that was about 2 years ago. She told her to get in the car, and she jumped in the car. She killed off. I said, uh-huh. I said, yeah, you going to pick up me by peeing on myself, huh? So, yeah, I get them back here every year, and this year is going to be even worse. I put it on page. Have that pumpkin head dressed up. When they come and say, truth, I'm going to jump up on the porch with the chain, so I can crank it up. There's no chain on it. Right there.
I don't know if this my swing on you this time. This is the
right,
day,
right. Oh, you're playing. Okay.
Right. You want to play? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you might want to reconsider, brother. They're not packing knives no more. And pepper spray no more, brother.
You know what? One year, my stepfather took me and my mom and his daughter to a car wash, and it was a haunted car wash. It was really cool. Mm. I'll do that, but I ain't getting out the car.
I got one better for you, Judge.
What?
You're talking about not getting out the car. My mom and them went to a haunted house 1 year. I didn't want to go because, like I told you, I'm afraid. I'm sitting in the car. I hear somebody knock on the window. I turn around and look to my right, and it's this damn thing with some glowing teeth in his mouth.
If you don't come in the house, we coming to you.
Right.
Of course, my mom and them set that up.
Exactly.
Right, go out there and get him. He's trying to sit in the car. Okay, we're going
to get him. You talking about trapped in the closet. I mean, you don't got nowhere to go.
I'm going to probably get a little thing, the keys to the car.
Exactly.
Right.
Mama wrong for that.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, that's all right. We wish everyone a safe and happy Halloween. I know a lot of people celebrate it differently, and some people don't at all, but just remember, it's not about us and what we believe in. It's about the kids, and they can have good fun. Just be safe. Watch these kids. Stay on familiar grounds. Make sure that they can see through their masks. Make sure you got some lights. And if they see anybody near them that ain't supposed to be around them, stranger danger all night long. Stranger danger.
Right. Okay, and please wait until you get home.
and to bust that candy
and check
down.
All
I know y'all
the
be green.
Please do.
But please
check
wait.
Check all the candy.
Yeah.
Give them the gummy bears and check sugar on it. Make sure it's sugar.
Right.
Remember this year, the fentanyl. Fentanyl scare is
right.
real.
Oh yeah,
and then
they got the
powder to it too. They got the powder to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Pixie Sticks.
They mess
with
no straw or nothing.
The M&Ms, the Jolly Ranchers, Starburst.
Yeah,
they messing with all that. Chad is excited about going trick or treating. He said, "Happy holiday to all of you. Happy Halloween."
Tell him we said happy Halloween too.
I guess I'm safe because my dialysis center gave me some Skittles and Starburst. So I guess I'm safe. They ain't got no fentanyl in there. Oh, my God. Oh, geez, man. These people is crazy. Weird.
I mean, I remember way back in the day. I remember back in the day when they used to go trick-or-treat. These some cruel people. They would put a razor and an apple something.
Yeah.
Top. I mean, I think I could do something like that to somebody.
Razors and
straight down. Remember when Homie the Clown was out? And was chasing kids around and killing the kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that was so scary.
That's Gansy, the clown.
Oh,
yep, they just had that on TV the other day. He would scare those kids.
Just watch your babies. Watch your babies. Stay in familiar areas.
I know. It's scary.
Watch your babies.
Yeah, and you know one thing I can say when my daughter was growing up, she used to love to go trick-or-treating until she was like 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
She'd go trick-or-treat, but she won't even eat the candy. Only thing she'd do, let me see how many Reese's Cups I got. That's the only thing she'd eat out of that. Then we got this big old bag of candy sitting in the house, and nobody eating it. I'm like, that's the weirdest thing ever. Because she used to like to go out with her friends.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We used to always have something at church, but we're not doing anything this year. But there's a few things around in the area. So if you guys go anywhere, you know, try to go live a little bit. Tell us where you're at. Take a picture, too. Post on the page. Share your excitement with us.
Then
NC
the churches run out to call those that have heaven and hell parties.
Huh?
Didn't the church used to call the heaven and hell parties or something like that?
Well, we called ours trunk or treat.
We called them Hallelujah night.
I'm just saying before that. Before it was trunk or treat.
I remember
the
heaven and hell party.
Yeah, they used to call it the heaven and hell party.
School,
we've always
thought
that was trunk or treat. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember those.
And they call them the fall festivals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yep.
But now I think in Mexico they call it the Day of the Dead. They go out and celebrate the dead or do something like that. I don't know.
You know New Orleans, this day time of the year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if
you guys
need to
check out Six Flags, they always had I forgot what they call this, Six Flags. I forgot, but my daughter and them go every Halloween.
Carowinds call it, Scarowinds.
Scarowinds, y'all
think
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I wish I would.
My daughter say that's real scary. People just walking up to you, jumping out of trees. I'm like, what? I'm okay.
That one.
My nerves are bad.
Fest.
Now you hear about me now.
That's what they call it up here,
stop.
The fight fast.
My
well, you know they got a
now.
Show that come on called it Coast to Coast. They have all kind of weird stories they be telling about haunted houses and stuff. They call it Coast to Coast. I don't know if y'all get it up there or not where y'all are.
Yeah, I live up to it sometimes.
And it's really scary, you know. They be talking about all that crazy stuff. And people actually say they have seen ghosts and stuff. But I don't know.
But yeah, Six Flags call themselves Frightfest.
Frightfest,
and it's really crazy
and scary.
So yeah, so they they had this thing called AJ. I don't know how long you've been in Cleveland, but they used to have this thing called the Haunted Graveyard. They used to have the Haunted Schoolhouse and the Haunted Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you made it through, they actually gave you money.
Mm.
I don't think I'd make it through that. It's called Undertaker for me. I couldn't do it.
Now, our band used to, at the high school band, they used to make a haunted house out of our high school. They used like one floor of it, and it was actually pretty good. Mari had worked in a couple years when she was in band, and it was really, really good. It was one of their biggest fundraisers, and they made some good money off of it.
Yeah, I think you could really do something like that in a big high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, when I was younger, me, my brother, and my cousins, when we started driving and stuff, well, my cousin was driving before us and my brother, we used to play in the graveyard, okay? We used to play in the graveyard. We used to, it'd be three or four of us in the back seat and two in the front, and we'd just ride around. Wait till it get dark outside. I'm like, we just weird as I don't know what, but it was fun, though, you know. We always say, you know, the dead ain't going to hurt us, you know.
That's right.
But we used to go play in the graveyard, but we used to stay in the car, though. We didn't get out the car.
You know, it's the safest place in the world.
Yeah.
I'd be, but I don't want to be there. I'd be there soon enough. Never mind.
He is so crazy. God, Papa.
You're coming to the graveyard.
I ain't going to do that one. Y'all can have that one.
Look, we ain't no better now. I mean, then, but I wouldn't do that now. Oh, no.
Right.
Mm-mm.
I would like to thank again our guest, Miss Linda from Alabama, for an exciting and wonderfully testimonial revealing of herself. And I think that helped her out a lot. I think she's going to definitely be able to move forward from that. So we'll continue to keep her blessed up and prayed up. We ask that you come back and check us out tomorrow night on the Six Sides Radio Network with AJ and the squad. It's on Pride and Joy with DJ ATL and Mr. Six as she come and give you the news and more. And Miss Nicole also, so come check out Miss Pride and Joy tomorrow night, whoop whoop, at 11:30. And we just say thank you, guys. Anybody have anything else they want to say? P.M., sir, P.M., P.M., in the P.M.
Oh, y'all going to have me up late like that at night. I'm going to be going to church.
Well, just lay there and listen then. Just lay there and listen.
Might not be sleep. Y'all wouldn't hear too much.
Hey, I'm actually going to this Friday. Y'all should be proud of me.
You going to what?
You go.
I said, I've actually been doing good this Friday. Y'all should be proud of me.
Yeah, you still, I've been looking. You still okay. Okay. AJ, you have anything else?
Just real quickly, as we always do before we get up out of here about this time, God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference, and we all say amen.
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 You got me something, honey? Whatever you want.
Anybody got some Twizzlers, Starbursts? I need some in my little bucket.
I don't know.
Yeah,
right,
pumpkins that you used to get, put your candy in.
I went by Journey one a day.
Wow.
They got them in all different colors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got them in lime, green, all type of colors. Yeah.
They got little words on them, little pictures on them. They ain't just the basic little pumpkin buckets no more.
Oh, yeah, the kids, they got it so good.
What up, people? What? The Six Eye Radio Network, AJ and the Squad. It's Halloween time. And I myself got a challenge just for you. Go on our Facebook page, AJ and the Squad. Go live. Talk about your costume, your kids' costume, and make your scary Halloween sound. Was a sound creepy or is a voice creepy? Give it a two-piece kickback. So say normal like Happy Halloween and then change it up on the other side and say Halloween. It was fake. What we like, what we do. Make it fun, just man. Alright?
Halloween from AJN the Squad and the 6-5 Radio Network. Check, check.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. See you next Friday.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for coming.
Good night.
Until next Friday.
Bye-bye.
Happy
Good night, baby.